Thursday, April 12th, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. As this show increases in views and interaction, like clockwork, so does YouTube's effort to stifle it, as I just received another restriction on my video about the YouTube shooting. Go figure. And it was flagged and age-restricted, which we know is just kind of a loophole for censoring, as there was no cussing, no graphic images, just me reporting on current events, as always. So there's really, per their own guidelines, there's no reason to restrict it for an age restriction type of idea, but so be it. There's, all, you know, my best outlet is to simply send in their little form that I'm supposed to fill out, and then I ultimately never hear back, as I hear all too often, and as I've experienced in the past. So it's just interesting to see this continue to happen, but we're going to see more and more as this as we continue to grow, or this show continues to grow. But that will not stop me from speaking the truth as I see it and allowing you all to take my perspective and hopefully come to your own conclusions, even if they differ from mine. So a few humorous updates in regard to Syria before we dive deeper for today. First, President Trump now says an attack on Syria, quote, could happen very soon or not so soon at all. Okay, that's clear. Thank you. Appreciate that. And a group of OPWC chemical weapons experts will apparently now arrive in Syria today, which will be interesting to see how it differs from what Russia found. And regardless, remember that this will be the first investigation of its kind for the recent alleged attack. Yet most of the West is still pushing action and claiming certainty, which is absurd and wildly irresponsible, but nothing new there. Merkel apparently says, quote, it's obvious Syria didn't eradicate its chemical weapons arsenal. Oh, is it obvious? Based on your assumptions, bias, and lack of investigation? Well, I'm certainly sold. It's interesting how we're told to blindly trust findings all too often, yet the one that apparently verified beyond a doubt that Syria had destroyed its chemical weapons stockpile in 2013 is one that I guess we shouldn't trust. So selective certainty based on political agendas. Got it. And finally, Francis Macron says he has proof Syria is behind the chemical weapons attack. According to the BBC, he did not give the source of his information, but he said, quote, we have proof that last week chemical weapons, at least chlorine, were used by the regime of Bashar al-Assad. I think there what he's trying to do, and this is my opinion, but trying to conflate that proof that chlorine was used, which I also kind of doubt at this point, but that it's which is certainly possible, by the way, but that it's the same as proving Assad is behind it. Really, that's not the same thing at all, as I think hopefully most of my followers know this by now, but it's all based on the obviously incorrect claim that, you know, we know it was that Assad has done this in the past, but no, we don't, as they have admitted more than once. Yet that's still used as a foregone conclusion, all too often by people like Nikki Haley in the world stage, as if it's something we know he's done this before many times, but no, we don't know that. And the evidence you try to cite are things that we've already refuted, and people have already claimed, no, we didn't have evidence and we move forward anyway. And apparently urine and blood samples from victims of the attack have tested positive for chlorine and a nerve agent, apparently. Media reports quote a U.S. official as saying. But again, I would doubt the fact that that's even true, but it's definitely possible. Again, I don't put it past anything. I mean, I don't put it past the fact that Russia lied about their claims or that an attack did happen. But as I always say, the overarching point here is that we're moving forward with all of this without actually having an investigation or evidence, which reveals everything ultimately to me. But the fact that everyone's jumping to conclusions before we see anything, it says quite a bit. But that's all I'm always cautioning is the fact that we can't just assume anything. But they're always pointing to Syria, which clearly reveals their agenda at play here, and ultimately knowing that they've taken actual military action before ever knowing in the past, and now we know they ultimately never had evidence in the past. So it's just very revealing to see all this. So when they come out and claim that we have evidence of chlorine, I would immediately probably assume that's probably some kind of fabricated report. That's my opinion, by the way. But let's just say it was true. Having proving that chlorine was used does not de facto mean that Assad is guilty. That's what they're trying to conflate there, in my opinion. But we'll have to keep following this and see what happens as they do their investigation in Syria, apparently today. Moving on to the first story of the day, coming from RT.com, and a very interesting and revealing one that does not surprise me at all. Mattis, still no evidence on Syria chemical attack, but I believe there was one. U.S. Secretary of Defense James Mattis reiterated that the Pentagon still has no independent evidence to confirm that there was a chemical weapons attack in Syria last week, but said he personally believes there was one. Quote, I believe there was a chemical attack. We are looking for actual evidence. I mean, wow, like this is, it's crazy to see, I mean, the fact that they're openly coming out and saying that we don't have any evidence whatsoever, but we feel this way, whether it's based on their intelligence or, you know, any number of things, that's usually the claim, that there's something behind the scenes that we don't know and that we should just trust them. I mean, which is ridiculous, knowing how many times we've been lied to in the past in Iraq and wherever else. But the fact that right now we're seeing all this action and rhetoric and calling out Syria and Russia when they have absolutely no evidence, I mean, that speaks for itself. So this is an article we should definitely share around and, you know, give, I mean, maybe find a different one than RT article, because I'm sure plenty of people just reflexively dismiss anything from RT. But this is something that has been widely announced, that he has absolutely no evidence, but he just certainly believes one based on a lack of evidence, I guess, in personal opinion, which should not be dictating our foreign policy. Moving on to the next story, coming from ZeroHedge.com, a map of the coming war. Who is who and where in Syria? This is an interesting article that is worth taking a look at simply because it breaks down who's where and the gains and losses of those involved, which is important to understand. That being said, the article begins with war likely to break out in Syria at any moment. A question many Americans are asking is, where is Syria? Which is the ultimate reason I'm addressing this piece. 2 points to make here. First, many are talking about Syria and reporting on all of this like a war is about to break out in Syria. But the U.S. has been at war in Syria, as well as many other countries, for years. So this weird idea that we're about to see war break out is, it's absolutely crazy. And I don't understand the logic there or the agenda, I guess. We've seen war carried out. We've seen Israel bombing them. We've seen Americans bombing them. We've seen Turkey invading. I mean, this is a war we're seeing take place right in front of us. But now it's all of a sudden about to break out. I mean, we need to be cautious about the way these stories are being shaped, right? Clearly the mainstream media is trying to shape the narrative here for some reason. I mean, plenty of reasons we could point out, but clearly this is not the case. We are not seeing a war about to break out. And I don't think this article, or this author rather, was trying to be deceptive. I just think that's kind of like the going idea right now. So he was reporting that at first and then getting into the information of the article. Because I usually see very good information coming from this outlet, and I don't think this was intentional. But I make this point because I think a lot of people are kind of just going with this, like, oh, about to see war break out, World War III. I've often argued that that has been ongoing for a very long time. I mean, yeah, we can have bombings and civilian deaths and casualties all over the place without seeing a war happen in front of us, which is what's happening. So it's very interesting to see that. Second, the horrifying reality that most Americans cannot even find Syria on a map is truly shocking when you realize that simply due to mainstream media propaganda and two-party politics, many are calling for military action and saying Assad must be stopped, while knowing very little or nothing at all in regard to what's really going on there. Taking the word of verifiable liars and propaganda mouthpieces of the government. I mean, think about that. If you cannot point to Syria on a map, maybe you should just be quiet when it comes to voicing an opinion on whether or not to take the lives of its population. Just a thought. Moving on to the next story, coming from activistpost.com, horrifying testimonies prove you have been lied to about Eastern Ghouta. Now, this is an interesting article as well, and the author makes an excellent point that is worth addressing. The article reads, during my time in Damascus, I got the opportunity to talk to several civilians from Eastern Ghouta. Their testimonies, totally ignored by the mass media, tell a horrifying story of starvation, withholding of food and medical aid, rape, and the imprisonment of murder of innocent women and children. World peace hangs in the balance as the world is busy talking about Syria. Yet the voices of those with an actual right to testify and share their experiences and opinions, i.e. the Syrian people, are disregarded. Now, we should no more trust this one reporter's perspective than any other. Yet it should also be given the same attention that we choose to give any other. And even if his reports are not genuine, which is entirely possible, which I find them to be credible myself, and I recommend you take a look after the show. But the main point here that I'm addressing in regard to this coverage is the Syrian people's voice and perspective of what's taking place in their own country is widely disregarded by the mainstream media. Ask yourself why that is. Could it possibly be because the Western narrative does not align with what they're actually experiencing on the ground, and that this entire endeavor has nothing to do with saving the Syrian people, as the West so disingenuously claims, despite every action demonstrating otherwise? That would be my take. But we should all at least consider that possibility when reading this information and when digesting the larger story, and why they're not being given a voice in regard to their own future. Moving on to the next story, coming from WakingTimes.com, over 8 million U.S. children now on psychiatric drugs. Now, this is a topic that I've covered many times, but I think this is important to kind of get, you know, right now with everything going on, I mean, yesterday's show was all about what's being covered up and what we're not seeing. And I still think that's important to think about. This one is one that it's, I mean, coming off the shootings and all the different things happening. It's like, it's so weird how the American perception just shifts. Like all of a sudden now all about Syria and Assad, and we forget about everything else and all the things we were trying to prove and all the, you know, the corruption and the manipulation of the information. And this is one story that I think is important for us to understand, is that so many kids, the article describes right in the beginning, 1 in 5 children have been diagnosed with a mental health problem. In turn, more children than ever are on psychiatric drugs. The author asks a very important question. Could the rise in mental disorders be the result of an agendized push for increasing psychiatric drugging that began in and around the 1990s? I think that's absolutely possible and absolutely likely at the end of the day. ADHD in this country is now well over 40%. That's crazy. And for children aged between 10 and 14, the suicide rates have risen 200%. I mean, that is absolutely mind-boggling. Teenage depression is up to 37%. I mean, these things don't just shift like this in such a short period of time. Clearly, there's something happening here, and obviously, it correlates perfectly with the rise of medications. This is where it gets wild to me. This is where I can't even stomach this kind of information, because it really shows you not only the manipulation behind it all, but the fact that people are openly willing to just disregard their common sense and give their children these kinds of drugs. Today, children 6 years old and under on psychiatric drugs is over a million. It's 1,146,530. That's crazy. And this is where it gets absolutely crazy. Less than one year old on psychiatric drugs, 274,804. I mean, what parents out there are allowing their children to take psychiatric drugs, ADHD medication, which is methamphetamines, basically, or like antipsychotics or any, I mean, there's plenty of them, but ultimately, the larger umbrella of psychiatric drugs, under 1 year old, there's over 200,000 kids. I mean, that's mind-boggling. 2 to 3, there's 370,000. Between 4 and 5, there's 500,000. Between 6 and 12, there is 4 million kids, over 4 million kids, on psychiatric drugs. I mean, think about that. This is a horrifying precedent, and it seems like people are just ignoring this entire problem. The author points out that at 6 years old, the psychiatric drugging increases greatly because school starts. If a child is constantly disrupting a class of, say, 20 to 30 odd, you know, children, then drugging is seen as the easiest way to neutralize or sedate the disruptive child. Ages 13 to 17 years old, there's over 3.5 million kids on psychiatric drugs. And he says in the article, do the math, adding it all up, it comes to 8,894,463. I mean, I've lost words for that. I think about that's crazy. And then we have to correlate that with everything else. And despite the casual and big pharma and lobbying connected dismissal of this fact, the link between the violence and psychiatric meds is a well-documented fact. Be it with school shootings or adults, almost every single one of these infamous mass killers has either been on or were coming off psychiatric meds. As long as the paid-off politicians turn a proverbial blind eye to this obvious link while allowing the big pharma psychiatric industry a highly lucrative cost pathway that leads to the drug sales, then we are an endangered race. As famous physician Peter Bregan tells us in so many words, the equation is quite simple. More psychiatric meds equals more mass shootings. And speaking of drugging children, or rather discussing the potentially orchestrated cause behind many of these diagnoses, the next article coming from Natural Blaze, the shocking impact of TV on a child's brain. Children between the ages of 2 and 11 watch an average of over 25 hours of television per week. That's a part-time job. And TV is basically an electronic babysitter due to its pacifying effects. The article asks the very important question, is it possible for educational technology to inappropriately stimulate and harm the developing child's brain? And if so, does modern TV precondition the mind to expect high levels of stimulation, which leads to inattention and developmental problems later on? I would say absolutely. We could very well be witnessing one big orchestrated cause and reaction in order to create the perceived need for psychiatric drugs, as we know Big Pharma has been exposed for taking such actions in the past. Now, this is speculation, but we know how many children are on drugs today. which in and of itself is simply horrifying. And we know that this number wildly spiked in the 90s, perfectly correlating with all the other data, which simply does not happen organically. So the question is, was it all planned? Was it all intentional? I'll ultimately leave you to decide that for yourself. But either way, this is clearly a major mind-warping, personality and society-changing problem that gets almost zero attention. Moving on to the final story of the day, coming from activistpost.com, the same government that spies on its citizens is lecturing Facebook CEO for same thing. Now, this is just a funny one I'd like to end with today because we've talked already a lot about Facebook and everything, but this one is, the author makes such a great point here, and it's so ridiculous, and it's just ironic and hypocritical and so many other words that we can see this exact thing happening. It reads, members of the same government that is responsible for violating privacy laws and illegally collecting data from its citizens openly lectured the CEO of a company for violating privacy laws and illegally collecting data from its users. A case of irony that could only play out in a country that brags about the unprecedented freedom enjoyed by its citizens. It's just such a great, it's equally horrifying, frustrating, and humorous to see this story, to see how, I mean, we have to consider that. I mean, like we said, we know this stuff has happened. We have the evidence. They've verified it. They've admitted it. Yet they sit up there on their high horse, and I think obviously he should be held accountable, which he wasn't at the end of the day. But they sit there and they talk down to him like he's doing something bad when literally they're doing the same thing to us. It's just one big dog and pony show. I think that's what we ultimately have to see with all the things we're talking about, is that we're being led by the nose. So they literally create these things to lead us down a path. So we walk down this area while they're carrying out something behind the scenes. I mean, that happens every single day. It's social engineering at its finest, and we see it happening all over the place. I mean, it's something that we really have to begin to digest and understand that everything we see to some degree or another is being created to dictate a certain response, a certain emotional reaction, so we can then carry out a certain agenda at the end of the day. And it's something that we have to begin to recognize, and we have to begin to try to stop, because far too many are just walking right down the path. Even within many alternative media channels that are claiming to be the answer are ultimately doing the very same thing, which is kind of the revitalization of this manipulation. People started doubting mainstream media, so they figured out a way to kind of sweep everybody right back into the problem. But at the end of the day, if we don't recognize this and begin to think for ourselves, we've already lost. For more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.